Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
South Korea. The Tiante Bookstore in the city of Seoul holds a 9-day Falun Dafa seminar every month to help people learn the spiritual practice. Each session lasts for 9 consecutive days and is divided into morning and evening classes. The sessions are free of charge. People of all ages are welcome to participate. New learners shared their thoughts after attending this month's 9-day seminar. A participant named Mr. Choi said he is a medical student and is interested in spirituality. When he browsed the Falun Dafa website, he sensed the extraordinary nature of the practice. Mr. Choi went to the Tiante bookstore and purchased a copy of Juan Falun, the main text of the practice. A week later, he began to look for other Falun Dafa books. After participating in the 9-day seminar, he shared, "When I was learning the Falun Dafa movements, I could feel the energy. On the 5th and 6th days, I felt a surge of energy flowing and circulating deep in my heart. I was able to persevere for 9 days because I really wanted to cultivate to the end. This was my own choice. I feel that now is the time for me to obtain the Fa." The next 9-day Falun Dafa seminar in Seoul will take place from May 20th to May 28th.
United States. The 18th annual Omaha Health Expo was held at the Oakview Mall in Omaha, Nebraska on April 12th and 13th. Many people became interested in the practice after hearing about Falun Gong's health benefits, and many attendees praised the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and they said they wanted to apply those qualities in their daily lives. Practitioners demonstrated the Falun Gong exercises. Expo visitors were fascinated by the cultivation practice and agreed that mind and body should be purified together. A local resident named Jones read the introduction materials and listened to a practitioner introduce the practice. His eyes brightened when he heard that practicing Falun Gong can alleviate mental stress and improve the body at the same time. He kept nodding and said that he agreed that fundamental changes originate from one's improving one's inner self. He left his contact information, hoping to explore Falun Gong in the future. A booth visitor named Nate showed great interest in the practice. He asked questions about cultivation and about improving one's character. A practitioner shared her understanding based on her own cultivation experiences. Nate said that he wanted to join an upcoming group exercise session. A senior care center nurse took copies of the Falun Gong flyers to share with her colleagues. She told a practitioner, "This is exactly what we need."
Germany. Falun Dafa practitioners gather every Sunday in the city of Saarbrücken at the German-French Garden to do the Falun Dafa exercises, provide information about the practice, and gather support in opposing the crime of live organ harvesting from Falun Dafa practitioners in China. Many people have signed a petition addressed to the German federal government's Human Rights Committee opposing forced organ harvesting. A mother from the city of Kaiserslautern named Lama Yoga visited the booth on Easter Sunday, April 19th. She explained that she is originally from Tibet and had heard that Tibetans have also had their organs stolen. She explained some women with stomach pain had surgeries, but often were reported to have died from infections. It was later discovered that their bodies were missing kidneys. These surgeries were carried out by Chinese doctors. She and her 2 children signed the petition and thanked practitioners for their efforts to raise awareness of the CCP's crimes against humanity.
South Africa. Falun Dafa practitioners distributed information about the spiritual practice and the now decades-long persecution In the capital city of Cape Town on April 25th, they handed out pamphlets at the city center's bus station, hoping to bring the facts to every corner of Cape Town. Some people visiting from the nearby suburb of Khayelitsha expressed a desire for practitioners to visit their community and teach the exercises. Joseph and two colleagues were buying lunch nearby. He said, "Practicing Falun Dafa can heal diseases and improve health. The cultivation also improves one's moral character. Dafa is truly good. We will encourage more of our colleagues to learn it." Practitioners met a man named Carl in front of the old South African Parliament building. He said, "It's great that I heard about Falun Dafa. I will ask my sister to come so we can learn it together." The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. A Beijing resident died on April 26, 2025, after enduring over two decades of persecution for her faith in Falun Gong. She was 73 years old. Before Ms. Yan Yuying took up Falun Gong in 1996, she suffered from a severe stomach disease. A widow with two young children, she couldn't afford to seek medical treatment. Her condition, however, disappeared soon after she began practicing. She was first arrested in 2001 for going to Tiananmen Square to appeal for the right to practice Falun Gong. Ms. Yan was arrested again in July 2005 and was held at a brainwashing center for nearly a month. The guards ordered the inmates to stuff her mouth with dirty rags used for cleaning and forced her to sleep next to the restrooms. A decade later, village security officials harassed Ms. Yan, ordering her to write a statement renouncing Falun Gong, which she refused to do. The persecution over the years took a toll on Ms. Yan's health, leading to her death.
Mr. Zhao Jojo of Hebei Province was arrested in 2016 for protesting the persecution of his mother and writing "Falun Dafa is good" on the exterior wall of his home. While he was detained, the police injected an unknown drug into his lower body, which also caused him intense pain. Mr. Zhao soon suffered from extreme epileptic seizures. Due to his condition, Mr. Zhao was unable to work and relied on daily medications to control his condition. In 2024, he was again arrested for his faith, and the county police department put Mr. Zhao on criminal detention and charged him with undermining law enforcement with a cult organization, the standard pretext used to criminalize Falun Gong practitioners in China. On April 26, Mr. Zhao's family received a call from the detention center that they could visit him at the county Chinese medicine hospital. By the time they arrived, he was dead. More than 10 officers videotaped Mr. Zhao's family the entire time they were in the hospital. After the family returned home, the local government officials and police also urged them to quickly hold Mr. Zhao's funeral and not make a big deal out of his death.
Mr. Xu Wei Dong's family learned on April 21st that he had been sentenced to 5 years for practicing Falun Gong. The trial court handling the case told him that the ruling was issued weeks earlier and furthermore refused to give the family a copy of the verdict. His wife, Ms. Sun Fenghua, has continuously been denied prison visits on the grounds that his case is classified. Mr. Xu was arrested at his home in 2023 with his wife. Police officers confiscated his computer, printer, and Falun Gong books. The police targeted the couple because they had talked to people about Falun Gong and the persecution. Hours later, the police escalated Mr. Xu's detention to criminal detention on the grounds that he was a repeat offender. Mr. Xu previously served a 10-year prison term for intercepting TV signals to broadcast programs debunking the hate propaganda against Falun Gong.
Ms. Zhang Lifang, 65, from Guyuan City, remains detained 1 month after she was arrested for practicing Falun Gong. Ms. Zhang Lifang went to visit her daughter in early 2025. A person spotted her, talking to people about Falun Gong, and followed her. They reported her to the police, and she was arrested in March. She has since been held at the Yinchuan City Detention Center. This is the seventh time Ms. Zhang has been arrested since the onset of the persecution of Falun Gong. She previously served three forced labor camp terms for a total of 5 years and a three-year prison term. The communist regime's slanderous propaganda, intimidation, and threats also put Ms. Zhang's husband and children under tremendous pressure. In addition to Ms. Zhang's ordeal, her three sisters and a niece were also targeted for practicing Falun Gong. Her eldest sister was tortured in a labor camp and remains bedridden to this day and lost her husband as a result of the persecution. Their daughter, Ms. Xu Yan, was sentenced to 3 years in prison. Ms. Zhang's two other sisters also lost their lives to the persecution.
Events worldwide commemorate historic 1999 peaceful appeal for Falun Dafa. 26 years ago, approximately 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners gathered at the appeals office compound in Beijing on April 25th to ask the authorities to release the 45 practitioners who'd been illegally arrested in Tianjin a few days earlier. The authorities agreed to the practitioners' requests and released the practitioners in Tianjin. This was the first peaceful and fruitful dialogue between civilians and the government since the Chinese Communist Party took power. The CCP did not immediately report on this historic event, however. It waited 3 months and then issued a report that defamed practitioners, claiming that they went to Beijing that day to besiege Zhongnanhai, the central government compound. However, from the news images, practitioners were seen standing quietly, patiently waiting for the results of the negotiation. To commemorate the event, Falun Gong practitioners all over the world held activities introducing Falun Dafa to the public and raising awareness of the illegal persecution of the practice. What follows includes but a brief mention of some of the many events. Falun Gong practitioners in Toronto, Canada held a series of activities, including group exercises, rallies, and a banner display in Queen's Park in front of the Legislative Assembly of Ontario building on Friday, April 24th. Multiple dignitaries spoke during the rally to support Falun Gong and condemn the CCP's brutality. Mr. Lai Jianping, a former lawyer in Beijing and independent commentator, said that it was because of the guidance of Falun Gong's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance that the historic event was possible. He said, "They hold a belief in truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance in their hearts, so they are conducting peaceful resistance, and they always insist on using peaceful, rational, and nonviolent methods in the process of protesting the persecution." Passers-by signed the petition in support of the practitioners' efforts to end the persecution and condemn the CCP for its crimes. After learning the facts behind the persecution, several people from China decided to quit the CCP and its affiliated organizations. In Ireland, practitioners held a rally in Dublin on April 26th. They called on the international community to help stop the CCP's persecution of Falun Dafa. Practitioners in Quebec, Canada, held a parade to raise awareness in Montreal on April 27th. Practitioners in Slovakia peacefully demonstrated in front of the Chinese embassy in the city of Bratislava on April 24th. They set up banners, demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises, told people about the practice, and how the appeal was a historic event in Chinese history. Falun Dafa practitioners in Japan peacefully protested in front of the Chinese embassy in Tokyo. Dutch practitioners held a rally in front of the Chinese embassy in The Hague on April 25th, as well as activities near the Peace Palace. Demonstrations and rallies against the persecution also took place in front of the Chinese consulates in the cities of Calgary, Canada, Brussels, Belgium, the Japanese cities of Nagoya, Fukuoka, Osaka, Nagasaki, and Sapporo, and also in Jakarta, Indonesia. European events were also held in the German cities of Berlin, Hamburg, Frankfurt, Dusseldorf, and Munich, in the Swiss city of Bern, in Paris, France, and in the Italian cities of Florence, Turin, and Venice. In the U.S., California Falun Dafa practitioners displayed photographs and banners, as well as paintings from the Art of Jen Shanren International Art Exhibition in front of the San Francisco City Hall on April 22nd.
Dignitaries across the globe honor Shen Yun. Shen Yun Performing Arts presented 44 performances in 13 cities in the Americas, Europe, and Asia during the week of April 14th through the 21st, 2025, and concluded its 2025 eight-city Taiwan tour on April 27th. Throughout April, dignitaries and elected leaders in various nations took in Shen Yun performances and applauded the artist's dedication and talents with certificates of congratulation, honorary commendations, beautiful floral arrangements, and touching personal sharing, all too numerous to mention in their entirety. Former Argentine Vice President Carlos Rukoff and his wife saw Shen Yun in Buenos Aires, Argentina, on April 17th. He said, "The performance is spectacular and its resistance to communism is equally commendable." Member of the Chamber of Deputies of Argentina, Marcela Campagnola, also saw Shen Yun in Buenos Aires on April 17th. She shared, "My biggest feeling was the emotional impact of the performance, the rigor of the art, the performer's devotion to the performance, and the divinity that touches the heart really deeply moved me. I'm also a person with a pursuit for divinity, so all of this really resonated with me." Member of the British Columbia Provincial Parliament, Brian Tepper, saw Shen Yun with his wife and three children in Vancouver, Canada, on April 13th. He presented a congratulatory letter to Shen Yun and the organizers. Mr. Tepper said, "It's fantastic. I can't imagine the amount of preparation and lead-up that goes into this to redo it every year. The music, the choreography, it's pretty amazing. My favorite part is the story-based performance portions. The dancing is wonderful, but you get the intrigue from the classical stories. That's what I enjoy the most." Distinguished scientist and professor Ye Jian Wei saw Shen Yun in Taiyuan, Taiwan, on April 27th. He said, "Shen Yun has reached a very high level. Such performances are truly of great significance. This is a spirit that comes from deep within. It is a manifestation of the soul, truthfulness, kindness, and beauty. That's why it has such great power. I think this is very important, as it can influence people's hearts, especially now that the society lacks this the most." Swedish Member of Parliament Lotta Johnson Forner and her husband saw Shen Yun in Stockholm on April 20th. She said, "I enjoyed the amazing and beautiful performance, and it was interesting to learn more about Chinese culture. Culture is important to people all over the world, and it is important to preserve it." French Army Brigadier General Daniel Prusin saw Shen Yun in Paris on April 18th. He said, "We felt very clearly that the artists were inspired by God, especially in the programs, and in every program we could feel this inspiration from God. We felt closer to divinity." In the U.S. Maine House of Representatives, Poppy Arford was impressed by the performance and called it amazing. She added, "We are grateful that this arts company could bring such a wonderful performance to Maine." And in the U.S. state of Washington, sixth-generation granddaughter of Chief Seattle, actress Amber Cantu, and her husband, Arnoldo, saw Shenyun in the city of Seattle on April 5th. Arnoldo praised the performance as very theatrical and beautiful. Amber shared, "It reached down deep into emotion. We could feel the emotion and the expression through the dance and song in such a way that we were brought into that moment with them. I know that doesn't happen in ballet, so this was a beautiful experience." Regarding the artist's mission to revive traditional Chinese culture and values, she said, "That mission is very important because I believe we can all learn from Chinese culture and its beauty. People have come to see this. I'm going to say this is a must-see experience."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.